In the name of the one true living God, our Creator, Provider, and Savior. Brothers and sisters, Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, was first announced and approved only in the narrow circle of the 12 apostles. They needed to realize Jesus' true identity and follow him on that basis. Ultimately, they would announce to the world that he is the promised Messiah, the anointed one, but not yet. The fact that he is the Christ was not yet to be made public. First, it was only for them to keep in mind and meditate on. Jesus himself strictly charged them to tell no one that he was the Christ. Yet, he went on to announce to them, also privately, what being the Christ involved. Let us give attention to Matthew chapter 16, verses 20 to 23. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Brothers and sisters, it was obvious that none of the disciples, including Peter, understood the real meaning of the remarkable announcement that Jesus is the Messiah. Being the Christ, the Son of the living God, sounded very promising. This announcement most likely assured them that they were part of an earthly agenda led by a most unusual man of God. Jesus was popularly viewed as one of the great prophets, such as John the Baptizer, Elijah, or Jeremiah. For centuries, such great prophets were highly revered by the nation. Some played major roles in proclaiming God's will and rebuking unbelief. To the 12, Jesus seemed well fitted for this honored category. Yet none of those great prophets qualified to be the Christ as Jesus is. It was time for the apostles to find out why Jesus is not just a great prophet. This meant facing some very unpleasant news about what being the Christ actually means. They were appointed to be first-hand witnesses to the world of the events of Jesus' messianic mission on earth. Jesus' announcement was sad, but it was very essential for them to hear. This was the most important part of the preparation for their calling as apostles. The gospel says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Clearly, this was not at all what the 12 had in mind. It sounded totally contrary to their expectations. And their shock at what Jesus announced was logical. How could such a holy, unparalleled teacher and great miracle worker be subjected to suffering at the hands of those who were supposed to promote godliness and justice, those who carry out divinely assigned leadership and religious duties? Moreover, what about Jesus' own divinely manifested power? Was he not able to stop his opponents from causing harm or suffering? Brothers and sisters, Peter had reasonable objections to what Jesus said. The gospel says, "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. this shall never happen to you. Peter, the same senior apostle who, in the presence of his fellow apostles, confessed Jesus as the Christ, is now taking him aside to rebuke him. He privately said to him, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." In other words, Peter is saying to Jesus, "How can you say such a thing? This cannot apply to you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Our leaders should know that. They cannot make you suffer and die, and you should not entertain such thoughts." Brothers and sisters, Peter was indeed sincerely concerned. He loved Jesus so much that he wanted to give him private counsel. He must have thought that something is wrong with Jesus' thinking and wanted to lovingly bring him to his senses. Indeed, Jesus was saying something unusual, something unlike anything he had said before. Obviously, Peter, like the rest of the people, did not know, or at least did not understand, all the scriptures had said about the promised Messiah. Had he understood, for example, what the 22nd Psalm or the 53rd chapter of Isaiah taught, he might have had second thoughts about impulsively taking Jesus aside to rebuke him. Psalm 22 predicted exactly what Jesus announced about the actions of the Jewish leaders. It applied these words to the promised Messiah. "Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me." Jesus knew that it was the divine will and plan for him to die. In the 22nd Psalm, Jesus' prayer includes, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death." In the same way, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah states about the Christ, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off, the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people?" Brothers and sisters, clearly Jesus was fully aware of his divine mission as the true Messiah. Yes, indeed, his enemy Satan knew even more than Peter that Christ had the power to crush those unjust and wicked political and religious leaders who meant him evil. Satan also knew the scriptures more than Peter. Satan was aware of Jesus' mission to save fallen humanity from sin and its consequences, as well as liberate God's people from his own captivity. All along, Satan's wish was to hinder the Christ from accomplishing it. Yet ignorantly, but also innocently, Peter's objection to what Jesus announced represented a service to Satan. Lovingly but firmly, Jesus privately alerted him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." Brothers and sisters, the gospel is clear that Jesus was fully aware of his redemptive mission. He unwaveringly committed himself to accomplish it. He announced, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Hallelujah! The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with God's people in all nations at all times throughout the whole earth by the blessed message of the gospel. Amen.